This is the outline of the presentation. I will start by the introduction. The first thing is, what is the World Color Survey? The World Color Survey was an experiment initiated in the late 70s in order to test the hypothesis proposed by Berlin and Kay in his book. These hypotheses were the existence of universal constraint on cross-language color naming and the existence of a partially fixed progression in these color names over time. Here is the webpage of this project if you want to take a look. The World Color Survey was made over 24 speakers of 110 languages from non-industrialized societies. And they were asked if they were able to name with a single color theme the chips of this Mansell test. That is the same Mansell test of Berlin and Kay. Which are the main difference between the World Color Survey data and Berlin and Kay is that while Berlin and Kay is done in 20 written languages of that where the most of the subjects also speak English, World Color Survey data is made in written languages of non-industrialized societies, and Berlin and Kay is made with laboratory conditions, while World Color Survey was not done in laboratory conditions. These are the contour plot of both experiments. In Berlin and Kay, we can see how we locate the 8 chromatic colors of English that are red, pink, brown, orange, yellow, green, blue, and purple. While us in World Color Survey data, we found 4 that are red, yellow, green, and blue. These 4 colors are known as the focal unique colors. The unique hues. Unique hues are pure colors. They are colors that have no any tint of other. They are defined over a region of the spectra. And this region of the spectra are related to red, green, blue, and yellow. And they have been found using both psychophysical experiments, like the World Color Survey data, but also in physiological experiments. When we are here, I will explain the Filipponen O'Regan previous work that we are based on it. The motivation of Filipponen O'Regan previous work was to try to find an elegant way of explain the focal unique colors and the unique hues using only trichromatic theory, using only the information that reach our eye. To this end, they define a relationship between the accessible information about the reflected light and the accessible information about the incident illuminant. So that it's the color reflected by the surface and the color of the illuminant alone. This relationship between these two things will give us a illuminant independent surface descriptor. So we have the accessible information that, as I said, was the illuminant, was the color of the illuminant, and the accessible information about the reflected lights, that it's the color of the color once the illuminant has bounced the surface. Here we can see it in this picture, how we have U that it's the incident illuminant, and once this illuminant has bounced the surface, we get a VS, which depends on the surface. In order to extend this to an illuminant independent surface descriptor, we should use a wide range of illuminants. To this end, the illuminants used are the daylight illuminants of Granada, the forest illuminants from Chiao, and also 200 combinations of from the Joule basis functions. So at the end, what we know, the accessible information about the illuminant and about the reflected surface, we solve by linear regression this equation that relates both of the, for the set of all the illuminants, which relate different surface information, and there are a big range of illuminance with the incident illuminant. So that means that here we have a matrix C of n by 3, which these values. We have the 3 by n matrix with the incident illuminant, and then we can found a 3 by 3 matrix which will be illuminant independent and will relate these two things. So this matrix A will encompass all the reflectance information of the surface. Okay, but AS, it's a 3 by 3 matrix, it's 9 parameters. So can we simplify, it's possible to simplify more this information? Yes, because A is a 3 by 3 matrix, so we can diagonalize this matrix. And the eigenvectors of this matrix will be the illuminant independent descriptor we are searching for. Then, Filipponen and O'Regan search for a singularity index in order to be able to parameterize the world color survey data and the unit hues with this information. To this end, they just sort the eigenvalues in a decreasing order. They computed a ratio between these components, and they take the maximum of this ratio normalized. This singularity index has two main drawbacks, that are that the proposed formulation is cumbersome, and this proposed formulation is not related to any known property of the colors. So in this work, we try to tackle these two problems, defining a new compact singularity index. This new compact singularity index, the first thing we think about it is try to extract the relationship between the components, first without ordering them. To this end, we propose to represent the saliency of one component over the other two. To this end, we define this I1, I2, and I3, that are just a kind of boosting of one component over the other two. Once we have done this, we compute our new compact singularity index as the addition of these three parts. Okay. We have get a compact formula, but we want to wonder if there is any color property regarding this index. First of all, we will play a little of math with this formulation. This compact singularity index is proportional to the same singularity index minus 3, and then we can just make one denominator, only one denominator. So then we can see that this numerator is the determinant of R1, R2, R3, R3, R2, R1, R2, R3, R1. This kind of rotation of the point in the three axes. Also, we know that this is a chromatic measure, that if we define a color R1, R2, R3, the chromatic measure will be done by the determinant of this matrix. Why? Because this determinant will be always bigger than 0, because the R1, R2, R3 will be always bigger than 0, they are reflectance properties, and this chromaticity function will be only 0 if the three components are equal, so if we are in a case of an achromatic surface. Then the new index becomes the ratio between this chromaticity measure and the product of the three surface descriptors indexes. Also, once we know this formulation, we try to relate them to some perceptual spaces. One of the most typical perceptual approximation given an RGB value is to take the cubic root of the values. So if we make this new ROS instead of at the cubic root of these functions, we get that in the perceptual space, this new formulation is just a ratio of means. We think that this is quite interesting, knowing all the properties that are encoded in the means. Okay. Once I've explained this new formulation, I will show you some results. Here we can see the World Colossal data, both in the contour plot and in the surface plot. And here we have the Filipona index and our index. We can see that red could be slightly better in Filipona, yellow and green are almost equal, but blue we made exactly the form of the blue, while Filipona is selecting the purple instead of the blue. We will be better this if we put as a drawback the Wolkowski index and we make the isolated curves in top of this plot. So here we can see how our blue is well done. Also our red is quite well done. Both yellows are equally good and both greens are not really well fitted. They are very close, so it's kind of very interesting work, but they are not well done. Second experiment, it's in order to locate the unit cubes, we pass to the XY space in order to see in which part of this space it's are these peaks located. So we can see, we can see how we also get the four peaks, and we get these four peaks in the points of the spectra, points of the XY expected. Then the conclusion of this work is that we have developed a new compact singularity function that will fulfill the next properties. First, it fits the World Colossal data and the unit cubes data at least as good as the Filipona and O'Regan one. So we can see, we have saw that blue is better in our case. It reduces the complexity of the previous index. And it finds a relationship between the unit hues and a chromaticity measure. That's all.
We have time for questions. There must be one from Sasha. Sasha.
You see, the linear regression makes sense only if there is a linear relationship between two variables, right? But in your case, there is no linear relationship between RGB values of incident light and the RGB value of reflected light. In other words, your matrix A depends on your sum. So if you change the sample, you will get, my guess, essentially different matrix A.
Well, that's the point of using a really wide set of illuminants. We use almost all the natural illuminants that you can find. And changing that, if you just change a little the illuminants, the matrix is almost equal. So if you take the enough number of illuminants, you are really doing illuminant independent measure. You are doing a least square approximation. So if you have enough number of points, you will make some mistakes in some of, if there is a metameric surface or something, but it will be compensated. When you are doing a least square minimization, you are minimizing the L2 norm. So most of the illuminants will be well fitted, and of course there will be some cases that they will not fit it. But if you take a not wide set of illuminants, this will be compensated.
Any other questions? I have one. Supposing you relax the 3x3 assumption.
Yeah.
I mean, well, just a minute, why do you assume that it has to be 3x3?
You say the matrix A,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Well, it's just in order to simplify quite a lot this 3x3. So that's the idea of we have a 3x n matrix, so we have a 3x n information, and there are lots of illuminants, and n x3 information. So the easier, the simpler way of combining them, it's making a 3x3 matrix.
Okay, but supposing you made it 4x4 or 2x2, would you expect a different pattern of peaks?
I am not sure about this, so.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much indeed. We can